and Miss Glory been, yesterday was 57 years that we've been married. And there was a smart aleck on TV last night that had been married 85 years. And I thought, well, you know, you can't get no glory nowhere. Here was this couple that, I don't remember how old they were. One was 106 or 7, the other one was 103. And they've been married 80 some odd years. I think it was 80 years, 80, 85, something like that. And I thought about, good night. I thought I had it rough, but anyhow, I want to say a few things that scripturally, probably at the time I had no clue about, but that I'm learning day after day, time after time. And what's so good about the Bible, the Word of God, is that it's fresh every day. And when you see those things, the things that you have experienced, what God has brought you through, you didn't even recognize the fact that He was doing it, and He was doing it for a reason. You begin to learn like that, and then as the days go on, it gets better and better. Like what Brother Mays Jackson said, he said, every time I think about what God's done, the Holy Ghost squeezes my heart and juice runs out my eyes. It really is imperative that we see the things that God has done over the years, even when we were not recognizing the thing that He was doing. I can look back and see how God moved me in different times in my life. And I didn't understand completely and did not know. And yet God closed doors that I couldn't go through now, and I had to go another direction, and I did. And I saw God's hand move in that, and I saw God do great and mighty things there. Amen. I always kid Brother Jimmy Adams when he's with us, because there were so many formidable years, things in my life, in our association with him. And Brother Bob Van Dyke came preaching. He was a young man at the time, and he was preaching the scriptures, and he was preaching them like they are in the Bible, and he was doing it wide open. But there were so many things that we learned in those days that we did not have the foundation underneath it to see why and where, or preachers call the context of why he was preaching, where he was preaching from. And then we went to Bible college, and Brother Jimmy Adams and that crew of guys up there, those preachers up there that taught in that Bible college, really helped us to put our feet on the ground and understand why we were preaching what we were preaching. Now, I was preaching at the time, but in many instances, so many times you learn so much. It's amazing how I can take an old outline that I have from years and years ago. I have somewhere around 30 or 35 books that I have outlines in that I've used over the years in all the preaching, every message that I preach, I guess, or most all of them. They were able to help us to in our mind, to change even some things we'd preached before. Now, we had good intentions for what we preached and how we preached it. That was all good and right, and what we preached was actually right, but there was more depth to it than we were able to, or that I was able to grasp and get a hold to. It was amazing how God, when we were in Bible college, we came to this church just to supply for a time till they could get them a preacher, and it's been 37 years. They still haven't gotten one. I don't know what's wrong with them, but anyhow, that was the whole idea behind the idea. But I was able to go to Bible college and put a root to what I knew already and bring to this church and teach them what God had taught me. And many a time, as I'd go to Bible college and come here, I would actually take the lessons that we had there and come here and preach those same messages. You can say that was lazy. You can call it whatever you want to. But the principle was that was why we were there, to accomplish that and to bring it to a people here who didn't have a pastor for a period of time. I had a preacher say to me one time that you can't pastor a church and have a job. And I said to him, I couldn't pastor a church if I didn't have a job. And he said, why? I said, because the church can't pay enough to take care of my family. No way. They couldn't pay for my gas to come here. And so over the years, we have seen God do some things that's beyond our scope and beyond our comprehension, beyond what we could do for ourselves. But the rest of Roloff used to say this: I want God to do something in my life that when I'm gone, nobody can say that I did it, that God had to have done it. And that's exactly the idea that we ought to have. I know that I could not have, no matter what I did, I could not do what I've seen God do in this church. I could not do it myself. Now, the Word of God does that. God has called us to preach, not to get to the place to where we grow up and do a great corporation and all of this stuff like this. God will take care of the results if we'll just do what He tells us to do, that is, preach the Bible and love one another and care for one another and have unity in our congregation. And that's exactly what we have to have. We have to have unity, or it doesn't work. Amen. And so with all that being said, I want to give you some stuff that happened to me and Ms. Gloria over the years. And some of it is funny. Some of it is not funny to me. But I did experience it. And if you live long enough, you guys, and you meet a girl and all this stuff like this, this will happen to you. And if I'm not here, I'm going to be laughing at you from heaven. Amen. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I keep using the reference these young men. We have a young lady with us this morning that drove all the way from San Saba here. So I want to give her some due recognition too. And it's Brenna. She is always... she's quiet and all this, but a lot of times she wants to ride with us. Before she had her own car, she's got her own car now. You know, to ride with us to church or to some fellowship we had or to camp meeting somewhere off like this. And Stephen's girls, one time their friend, close friends with her. In fact, I guess that's how we met her, was through them getting them to come and be with us and whatever. And so... one day we were talking to him about something, and we said, or Gloria said, that Brenna called us Granny and Pa. And Leanne said, I'll straighten that out. He said, you get your own Granny and Pa. You don't call my Granny and Pa, you know. And so there's a little trouble there, but it was a joy to have her with us today and be with us today in our services. Amen. So chapter 3. In verse 1, the Bible says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is a mouthful. That is a mouthful. That means that if you marry somebody that's not a Christian, you can lead them to God if you'll just be in submission to Him. Okay? Now, I've heard this before. I had a lady come to me after I preached on husbands love your wife one time. She came to me. And she said, you mean to tell me you're expecting me to obey that moron? And I said, lady, I'm just reading what the Bible says. You chose him. I didn't choose him. And let me go a little further and say this. You're having trouble with your husband or your wife? God didn't choose it if you didn't wait on God to do it. Now, if you did it, you know, I've prayed many a times. Many a times I've prayed, oh, God, you've got to do something with this woman. And he said, you chose her. Deal with it, bud. Amen. And believe you me, I have dealt with it. Amen. All right, now listen to this. It says, while they behold your chaste conversations coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that of the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. Now let me say something. I saw this fulfilled in the Temple Mall a number of years ago, during Christmas time. There was a black lady that came walking. I was sitting. I can only go so long, and I'd sit down on one of them benches out there in the hallway. My wife and daughter and all of them were still shopping. And this woman come by. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman. She had her hair, had curls in her hair. Not this woven stuff, but it had gold. And it had strips of gold in her hair like this. And I thought of this verse right here talking about that appealed to the sight. Okay? But you know what appeals to God? Is when a wife is in submission to her own husband. That's what appeals to God. When God sees that, he honors that. But when God sees you trying to impress somebody with your looks, and by the way, it also says be obedient to her who? Her own husband. My wife is so submissive to other guys in our church. She's just, you know, they have the keys and the answers to everything. And Brother Billy, yes, she's still working on it. Amen. Okay, so notice he said in verse, but let it be a hidden man of the heart. Amen. In that which is not corruptible, even the adornment of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in sight of God of great price. Notice the great price. So, ladies, I guess you could boil it down and say, be quiet. Okay. Verse 5 says, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in the Lord adorned themselves, being in submission to their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Amen. I got that underlined in my Bible. Whose daughters you are as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heir together of the grace of life, talking about having children, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, and be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are knowing there are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him reframe his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking. They speak no guile. So I want to talk about growing old together. Me and Ms. Gloria has been together since 1960. I had to remind her again after all these years that we got married in 1960. In Houston, I was in the Air Force, and I'd gone to basic training. When I came home from basic training, I was going to a foreign duty, that is in Massachusetts. And if you ever lived there or know that, you'd see that it was a foreign country as far as we was concerned. I never in my life been so persecuted because of the way we speak, the way we talk. I'd go to the grocery store and they'd say oil for force, and I'd say oil. And they'd all laugh and everybody fall on the floor and everything like this. And it was a very trying experience there. I had a policeman there who I worked in a little store, so mostly sold bread and milk and stuff like this when I was off from the Air Force. And the policeman walked up and down the store two or three times. He looked out there and saw my car. It had a little Oldsmobile car. I don't remember what year it was. It was an oldie. And he walked up and looked at it several times and looked inside it, and he looked at the license plates and all this, and he came in the store. He said, "Is that your car?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "If you move it, I'm going to give you a ticket." And I said, "Well, what are you going to give me a ticket for?" And he said, "You don't have a Massachusetts sticker on it, a Mass sticker on it." And I said, "Well, it has Texas tags, so, you know, whatever." And so he said, "Well, I'm going to give you a ticket." And he never smiled and never cracked a joke or nothing. He just said, "He's going to give me a ticket." So I had to wait till I guess he went off of duty, quit coming by there, and then I snuck off home and got the Massachusetts sticker later on. But growing old together is I think what God intends for us to do. I think we're not definitely not the example that you should follow after. Some people say I criticize her too much, and if they rode with me and go home, they'd see how much I take criticism from her. But the Bible says I've been young and now I'm old, and I have yet to see God reject his children or God's people begging bread. And we have seen things happen in our life over the years, and in the military we were there. And, I've always seen things that a woman wants, whether she can afford it or not. She told me the other day, or it's been two or three years ago, she told me, she said, I need to get my toes fixed. And I said, "Well, what's wrong with them? I figured she's talking about going to the doctor. I mean, what's wrong with your toes?" And she said, "Well, I just need them filed and stuff like this, and painted and all this." And I said, "Well, you don't have to have your toes painted." And, "Oh, yeah, she's got to have her toes painted." And so anyhow, she does that about every 3 or 4 months, and it costs $25. And she told me the other day, she said, "Would you take the, you can't reach your feet anymore, and I can't reach mine either. Like my boss used to say, I quit playing golf." And I said, "Why?" And it was his whole life. He played every day. I said, "Why don't you quit playing golf?" And he said, "Well, when I can hit the ball, I can't see it. And when I can see it, I can't reach it." So he said, "I had to quit playing." That happens to us as we grow old and we can't get to our feet anymore. You can't bend over. You can't do whatever. They got a deal out now you can buy to help you put your socks on. It's the deal out there. You put the sock on it and you can stick your foot in it. Amen. It sounds funny. It looks funny. I think that's like a comic book for old people when they look at a book that has all that junk in it. But we've started thinking about buying a few of them and seeing how it works. But anyhow, she had to have her toes fixed. And so she told me, she said, "Would you take it off? It saves me $3. When I go to the place, it saves me a few bucks. If the paint is off of your toes." Of course, they trim them and fix them and all that stuff like this. So I said, "Sure, y'all know me." And so I said, "Sure, I'd be glad to do that for you." And so I sat down in front of her chair while she's watching TV, and I start to put that cleaner off of, that you put on your fingernails and stuff to get the paint off. And it doesn't touch it. It doesn't do anything for it. I mean, it's this coarse stuff now they have now. It's flakes or something on it. It's coarse. And so to make a long story short, I had to get a file that I have that, you know, file your fingernails or your heels, your heels of your feet. Y'all think it's your heels are tender and soft. And so I had to take that and had to file the stuff off like you would file something off with a rasp or something off of her toes to fix it. But it's something she has to have, something that she just feels like she's got to have. She don't ask too much of me, and so I guess I ought to do it. Over the years, we've grown together. You know, when we have an anniversary, in fact, she even made that statement this week. She told my brother, she said, I don't know, he hasn't gotten anything for me yet for my anniversary. And I said to her, what have you gotten for me? I mean, I would like a Milwaukee driver, you know, battery pack. That'd be good, you know. She'd give me a pink one. Be all right. I don't care as long as it worked like that. But there's never that question, but it's always her. So I want to talk about things that have happened to us over the years and the things that God has said for us and done for us. I remember whenever she was pregnant with our first child in Massachusetts, it was so tickling. I was so tickled because we went to this place. It's kind of like a Walmart way back then, but there was no Walmarts, but it was kind of like that. The big old barn had everything in the world. I remember going there and buying all these smocks for a pregnant woman, you know, so she couldn't see her belly sticking out. You go out some today and you watch these women, they got on these skin-tight tights with their belly sticking out. I mean, that doesn't do a whole lot for me. I mean, you know. But anyway, back in those days, we bought a smock that she could wear over that and all this. And to add insult to injury, she never had to wear them because she couldn't tell she was pregnant. I mean, she was skinny as a rail, and when she had that boy, she was just as skinny as she was when she started out, I guess. I don't know. But anyhow, she never wore that thing, and I forgot what it was on it to get that for her. And she never wore one of them. We could have had a good garage sale, but we never did do that. But anyhow, I want to give you four or five things about this growing old, what it accomplishes or what it's about. The first thing is that it's an adventure. The first thing is it is an adventure. I think that most of the time as a young person, we're looking for adventures. We're looking for things that that stir us up physically. I never will forget when I've always been, maybe that's a downfall, maybe it's something, but I've always been a trickster, do things to people, or like I might say something to Miss Jane over here about Brother Pruitt and Brother Pruitt, something over here, and say, did you say that to Brother, did Brother Billy say, you said that about me, or whatever? And then I kind of step back and watch them, how they respond to that stuff. And I've always been that way. Since I was a little kid, I've always loved to do that. Well, when we got married, that was quite an abrupt change for my wife because she had never seen anything like that. She worked in the bank and run checks through at night. And she, while she was gone, when she would come back, I knew she was coming out hide in the house. And we had a little apartment. It was L-shaped. This was a kitchen and dining room. It's probably maybe from here to there. That was all there was to it. And then we had the bedroom, which was a little bitty, and you had to tell you how big the room was. We had a regular-sized bed. There was no king size and all that stuff back then. It was just a regular-sized bed. And you had to crawl over the foot of the bed to get in the bed. Yeah, that's how big the room was. We had, and I would hide in the house somewhere. And she would come in, and, of course, she would feel like that's what was happening, and she would start calling me. And I could hear in her voice, I could hear her saying, honey, please, don't scare me now. Please don't. Come on and, you know, come out wherever you're hiding. And so I would do that just about every night that she was gone. And I would hide in some of the best places you ever heard of in your life. And I would scare her on a regular basis. But it was an adventure with us. We did things together. We didn't have a TV. The government took our pay back all at one time. I got paid a few dollars over ever since I'd been in the military for almost a little over a year, and then all of a sudden for 3 months they didn't give me a paycheck, and they took every bit of it out at one time. We didn't have anything up there. the landlord told us it was okay. You don't have to worry about the rent. You know, one of these days they'll catch you up and it'll be all right. And don't worry about that. And so we didn't have to worry about a rent. We didn't have any other bills as far as that goes. So we ate, and I've gotten back to that now. Since the kids all left home, we don't cook anymore. We just eat whatever we can find. And so I've gotten back to the point to where, and you know it's true, we've gotten back to the point to where now I eat peanut butter crackers. And back then, when that happened, we had peanut butter crackers, and that's all we ate, morning, noon, and night when we were home. And, you know, it didn't hurt us. You can tell we're physically okay after that. We didn't tell our parents that, and we just lived through it. But it was a joyous time. We had a neighbor next door that we found out later that was in the same scenario we was in, and they had the same thing happen to them. And so they came over to eat peanut butter and crackers with us, and we had a good time together. So growing old together is an adventure. And even though we didn't understand the phraseology of living by faith, we didn't have a concept of that. We literally did not believe that we were going to fail. We just believed that everything was going to be all right and we was going to do all right because we had each other. Amen. Now when you get saved, you realize that everything's going to be all right and do all right because you have God, you have Christ in your life. And what a blessing that is when He is a sinner. When I was growing up as a boy, I had a Sunday school teacher whose name was Hubert Bailey. He owned the Bailey Drive-Ins in Houston, Texas that made hamburgers, had the best hamburgers in the world. And he was my Sunday school teacher. He affected my life and my wife's life more than any other person that we've ever known. He, more than our parents, more than our pastor, more than anybody else, he was the real McCoy. He loved us unashamedly and unreservedly. And he would always tell the truth. He would always be there when we needed him. He would always be our prayer partners. He would do all those things, even when we didn't want to pray. And he visited this church in his latter years, right before he died, and saw one of his students that he had as a Sunday school teacher as the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And he cried the whole time, and what he didn't realize is he caused me to cry and messed up my whole day. But anyhow, it was a blessing to see him. And I know that he is the most predominant person in my life all those years. And I lived off of what he taught me when I married Miss Gloria and we moved to Massachusetts in the first 2.5 years of our life. But what an adventure it was. It was living by faith. It was doing what we knew was right, and yet we didn't understand why we was doing what we were doing. We just believed it was right to do what we were doing. We expected the unexpected. Your life will be an adventure when you expect the unexpected. Your plans are not going to always work out. They're not going to be like you want them to. And it's God's plan or purpose in our lives to teach us things that we don't know. When we were going through this experience of not having any money, we wrote two people. And we asked them for $20. Two people, we asked for $20. Both of these people were prominent in our life. One of us gave us $40 and the other didn't give us anything. And they had a reason for giving it. I'm not important to go into the reason why, but it was a stupid reason as to why they wouldn't loan us $20. And it was not a gift we were asking for, it was a loan. So we were expecting things to happen to not be as smooth as we thought they might be, but how you deal with it is what makes life worthwhile. By the way, sometimes we may not exhibit this picture, but we have been two of the happiest people, I guess, that there are. We argue, we fuss, we fight, we do all the things everybody does, but we've been happiest together than we'd ever thought we could ever be. And then work hard and do what's right and expect God to do what you can't do for yourself. So it is an adventure. And then the next thing I want to say this, and I don't want to puff her up too much because I have to live with her for another 50 years or whatever. But it's a gift. It's really a gift. God gave me Miss Gloria. I have out beside this number two point here, laughter. If you don't have any laughter and enjoyment in your life, I feel sorry for you. Even when things are bad, you can still laugh. You can still enjoy what God. In fact, the Bible says laughter is a good medicine. It helps you. It gets you by. And so we've always had that. I never will forget. We were We were not known as the ordinary people in Massachusetts. And there was a downstairs and an upstairs where we lived. And we first began in a basement apartment, but we got to move up in the world, and we moved to this first room downstairs. And like I said, I was always playing tricks on her, and so I got a day off at work, and so I was going to sleep in. And so I was laying in bed one morning, and she went outside and got a big old bowl of snow. And she snuck in the house and came into the bedroom, pulled the sheet back, and dumped that snow right on my belly. And, of course, I came out of the house, chased her out of the house, like to tore the screen door off and the other door off and run her out in the yard, and never thinking about how I was dressed. And I ran her out in the yard and caught her, tackled her, and I was rolling her in the snow. And she was dressed, amen. I was the one that wasn't dressed. And all of a sudden we looked around and everybody was on the balcony, standing on the balcony looking at us outside and watching us. And so they never got over the Texans that were there at that time. But we constantly laughed and enjoyed things, and we constantly did that. And maybe it was because of our upbringing. Maybe it was because of the guy I was telling you about, Brother Bailey. He always had a smile. He always had an encouragement. I told Cody the other day, he's talking about somebody poking fun at him at work where he was working about what he believed as far as the Bible is concerned. And I told him, I said, Cody, just smile at him. Just smile and go on about your business. And boy, I'll tell you, that'll tear you up worse than anything in the world when people see that you're happy with what you are, and that you're content with what God has given you, even if it is your partner. We enjoy a life. My brother was telling us the other day about he came and stayed all one summer with us in Massachusetts, talking about all the. He said that's one thing in his life that he'll never forget, his visit with us in Massachusetts, and how that we did things together. And again, now there's no TV, no cell phones, none of that junk was out there. We had to use the landowner there. We had to use his telephone if we had to make a phone call. And it had to be important or we wouldn't have went over there. And then we had to learn to listen to each other. And it's gotten kind of out of control now as far as her listening to me. But we used to listen to each other. We used to be able to convey each other's wants and desires and likes and dislikes and all this. But listening is a great part of being or recognizing that you have the greatest gift that you'll ever have. And then to remember back in those days. I told my wife yesterday, I said, now don't laugh at me. We're driving down the road coming to the church. I said, now I don't want you to laugh at me. And she said, what? And I said, now, you promise? And she said, no, I can't promise that I won't laugh at you. She said, what do you want to tell me? I said, I would love to go back to Massachusetts. You got to know what a struggle that is. And live what we lived in the past over again with what I know today. And she said, really? And I said, yeah. She said, well, I've never had that feeling, never wanted to do that. But I do it. I would love to correct the things and mistakes that I made in my life, which I can't do, and which my life should exhibit to these young people to say to them, when you leave this day, that's the end of it. When you leave this day, all you're going to have left of this day is the memories that you had. And so if you could just do that, realize that today, it would help you. And then the third thing is that it is a school. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9, and in Psalm 71, 17, he talks about the learning experience that we have, because there's going to come a time in chapter 12 of Leviticus, he talks about everything happens. He talks about your teeth falling out, talks about your hair turning gray, talks about your eyes getting dim, and talks about you can't hear anymore, and all of that in chapter 12. And it says, what's the conclusion of this whole story? What's the conclusion? The conclusion is love God and keep His commandments. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. And that's all that will matter one day as you finish this life. But there can be joy and happiness. There can be, you can take life like we have, Miss Glory and myself, as an adventure, as a gift, and as a school. I have tried to learn about women all of my life. And instead of getting better, Brother Al, it's getting worse. I mean, really. You know, I talked about the toenail thing and all that stuff. I have never yet been in the place where I could figure it out. How many of you watched the movie Shenandoah? It's a tremendous movie. If you've never seen it, it's a tremendous movie. It's about the Civil War. And this guy wants to marry his daughter, and he's consented to it. And now they're spending time out on the front porch and talking about it. And he's trying to explain to this young man about what he's going to experience with his daughter. And so he says, you know, one day she starts to cry, and you figure that's something you did, since it's just you and her, it's something you did. So you ask her what it was you did that caused her to cry. And he said, she won't tell you. And it makes you mad. And you say, well, why don't you tell me so we can, what's the matter with you? Why don't you tell me? And he said, don't get mad. He said, she doesn't know why she's crying. So if she can't convey to you why she's crying, because she don't know why she's crying. And Jimmy Stewart does this. He says it's, he said it's just, he said it's just, he said it's, mm. He said you can't, he said just hug her anyhow. Just hug her anyhow and just go on about your business and forget about it. Well, it's easy to hug her and maybe get through that crisis, but you still wonder what in the world happened. And like he said, you'll never know. You just have to hug her and go on about your business. It is a school process. It is a learning process. Why aren't they more like us, men? That's God's business. Why isn't she more like we are? Why is that? We're not the same. Why is a battery have one negative and one positive? It doesn't have two positives. It doesn't have two negatives. It has one thing. Now, we like sports together. We liked fishing together. We liked everything together. But we were still so different that it was incomprehensible. And it was a school process all those years, a constant learning process about what we had together. Most of the time, now this is, if there was a profound thing I want to say in here, this would be the profound thing I want to say. Most of the time we fail the exam before we have the lessons, before we learn the lesson. We've already failed the exam. I never will forget when our son was born. I don't know when this all transpires, but you know the little scab on the navel, you know, after a period of time, they protect it and everything, and after a period of time, it falls off. And so it was my chore that day to take care of him while she went and done something, grocery shopping or something. And so I was going to change the diaper. And when I pulled the diaper down in the front, that little scab was in that diaper. It was not on his navel anymore. And I went crazy. I thought something was broke. And I ran upstairs with that thing in my hand. And the lady that was upstairs was the daughter of this, our landlord. And she went to laughing. And I said, what are you laughing about? Look here. And I was trying to figure out a way to put it back. And so she got a big kick out of that. But think of all the things that you've never experienced before. And I know the technology of our day and time, it has gone so far past what we was back then. But just things like that, to learning things that we learned. We didn't know about the world condition. We never thought about that. So many major things happened. The Cuban crisis, I was in the military there. For the first time in my life, I realized that we could go to war, and I was a military person. I'd never realized that before. And that night that President Kennedy said, you either turn the ships around or we're going to sink them. Our whole squadron moved to Florida to make preparation for the planes to be close to where they would be if they attacked. And, of course, we know that that didn't happen. They turned around and went back. And then President Kennedy was killed during my time in the Air Force when I was in Okinawa. I went to Okinawa, and he was killed there. And I didn't realize how closely the military comes to a place to where they realize that that would be a perfect time for somebody to try to invade America. And so we were on duty underground for some 2 weeks after his death. We didn't get to see any of the stuff that carried on about that, even though we had TV there. So it's a school. It's learning about things in this life that'll live with you all the rest of your life. And then it's about stewardship. It's about stewardship. The Bible says, as I've already quoted Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, fear God and keep his commandments. Oswald Chambers said this. He's a tremendous scholar. He made this statement. If you fear God, you will never fear anything else. But if you don't fear God, you will fear everything that comes your way in life. everything that we encounter in life. I don't know if, I'm talking to Joe's sister now, I don't know if we had sense enough to realize the dangers that we had when we was in growing up and all that stuff involved with that. But I do know this. I know that we didn't fear hardly anything other than God. So it had to be God working in us and through our lives. Now, if you go to a Baptist church in Massachusetts, it's a whole lot, I don't know how it is today, but back then, it was something that we had never experienced before. We had the same scenario that we have here when we were growing up as kids in our church in Rittenhouse Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. Up there, they wore the robes with the collar and everything just like you would have other denominations would. That's the way they did. Everything was done systematically. In other words, when he did such and such, they stood, all of them stood together. They had prayer benches on the back of each pew that you'd kneel on those prayer benches to pray. That was in a quote-unquote Baptist church. So we went there, and we learned things there, but we never learned anything extended to what we had before we got married. So growing old together, what is it about? Growing old together is realizing that this life is a short time. 57 years, especially for me, maybe not for you, maybe not for somebody else, maybe not for the couple that's been married 80-something years. But for me, that's a long, long time. And yet I can remember things that I did back then as clear as crystal, not now, but I can't remember if I took my pills this morning. So life is a few days and full of troubles. It is a difficult time for us to live, especially in the day in which we live. When I was in high school, chasing after Miss Gloria, we never thought about somebody hurting us at school. That never crossed our mind. 10 years later, my youngest stepbrother had to have a badge, like you go into a place. He had to wear a badge to school for security reasons. Sam Houston High School in Houston, Texas. I can't comprehend that, but as the days go on and the things get worse and worse and we see things happening in our society today, I can see the building process of what happened then in its extremity or its zenith today. You can see it today and how dangerous it is today. For a Christian and for a person that's looking for a mate now in this life, I would say to them, if you want to have a successful time, a life with a woman or a man or whatever, wait on the Lord and the Lord will bring it to pass. Amen. I used Brother Pruitt and his wife yesterday to somebody, I don't remember who it was, and I was talking about how we got the best Louisiana had to offer. Amen. And the best thing there. Amen. Where's your sister? She hadn't gone back or nothing. Amen. She got a job. So growing old together is not for sissies, but it is a happy time in our life. We can enjoy those things. I watch Brother Larry and Ms. Naomi, and I watch them how they respond to each other on a regular basis. And when we grow old with the precepts as we continue to grow, when I talk about growing, learning about the Bible and the things that the Bible teaches, as we grow older like that, it is a time in which we are able to train other lives to follow in the footsteps that Jesus has brought us through. And that's it. The consummation of the whole thing is Christ is the answer. Whether you realize it as a young person or not, you can grow to that day. And God can open and shut doors to direct your path and help your path to be what it ought to be. And so I'm thankful for that. Christ is the greatest blessing that ever happened to me and Miss Gloria, either one. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to us. When we woke up one day and realized what he had done and how he was working in our life was the most glorious thing we'd ever done. It's easy to look back and to talk about things than it is for you to look forward and talk about future things. But that's what happened to us, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for her. And she, by all means, it's not easy. To live your life together, because there's so much difference, whether you want to accept it or not, there's so much difference in a man and a woman. But thank God for it. When God is first in everything else, everything falls into place. Eventually, it will fall into place. And you will go through many, many difficult days and many things in your life where you don't understand, you can't comprehend. You don't know why you can raise 4 or 5 kids and 2 or 3 of them will live for God and the others will go out their own way and do their own thing. God have all the same training, have all the same things happen in their life, and yet some will accept it, some won't. That's a picture of a marriage. That's a picture of the church. And Jesus said that he's going to come one day and get his bride, and we're going to go to be with him. And so what we've experienced down here, God will use in our memory bank of what God has done and how he's able to do those things in our life. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ in our life and our accepting that as the rule of life in our life. Amen. So I wanted to tell you that. I don't know if you call this a sermon or whatever you want to call it, but it is a process that we're all growing older, and I said this a while ago, you guys, you young people are never going to have another day like today. It's going to be gone pretty quick. So what you do because of love, do because of compassion, do because God wants you to care about your life and how it's to be lived. Amen. And God will bless your life, and he does bless your life. So with that being said, I'm going to say I'm glad that one day, and by the way, I could talk all day about this. Ms. Glory was dating three other guys. They were all out of school, and I was still in high school. She worked at a bank. She was out of school. One of them had a Thunderbird. One had a Corvette. They all had good paying jobs. One of them had a 56 Chevrolet that I would have died to own. It was one of those fancy cars back in the day when we grew up. And I had a 48 Chevrolet two-door coupe. It did have those fender skirts on it, and so it was pretty cool, but I give $250 for it, so you can imagine what it looked like. But anyhow, I told one of the twins not long ago about this young girl, and he said, well, she's talking to somebody else. And I said, well, is she married? And he said, well, no, she's talking to somebody else. I said, well, then go for it. Go for it. What do you mean? Well, that's the way you do it today, Paul. I said, well, okay. But it worked with me because I took her away from all those guys. I won. Amen. Now, I'm not so sure that if I won, but I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm glad that we were able to spend our life together. Amen. So much as it is. Amen. All right, let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, I just want you to think about growing old, and whether you're married or not, growing old. How's your life? Is it a consistent life? Is it a happy life? Is it a joyous life? I know that most times it's not what we think it ought to be, but in Christ Jesus, it is the greatest thing that we'll ever experience down here in this life. And the only happy